This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Get your motor
running. Fender Bender on Joy 94.9, revving up the weekends with news and views on all things motoring.
Yes, welcome once again to another edition of Fender Bender right here on Joy 94.9. My name is Tim Nicholson. Very happy to have your company as we count down to the end of the year. There's only a few days left, but we're still here with you for another couple of weeks at least. As is Pete Dillon, who is always fabulous. Thank you. A big thanks to him for Cravings, of course. But we are here to discuss not food, but cars. And that's the beauty of Joy's diversity, moving from food to cars. To gaming, to who the hell knows what else, but that's why we love it. And I am joined today, of course, by the wonderful Mark Costello and Dan Gardner. Hi, boys.
Hello.
I say boys with a Z.
Oh, you're very, that's very hip, I think, isn't it?
I think it's a little bit urban.
Yeah, oh dear. A bit Keith.
Keith?
Yes.
I wasn't thinking that kind of urban, but he is an artist.
Lovely to be here, Tim. How are you?
Thanks for that.
Well, I'd better just steer us back on track there, because I can see that digressing off into something completely pointless.
Yeah, it was. It usually does. I'm well. How are you, gents?
Very good. Yes. Looking forward to Christmas?
Yeah.
Not that it feels like it's happening yet. We've been so busy that haven't had time to come up for air.
I know, right?
So, yeah.
Pretty crazy.
I don't know how it sneaks up on me every year. I really don't. But I did all my Christmas shopping last night.
So you go
over and done went from being in a situation of sort of moderate blind panic through to a feeling of contentment. Yeah. So I'm doing all right.
Yeah. It's good. Once you get it done, that feeling is wonderful, actually.
I often wonder why we put ourselves through it.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
Well, has anyone ever done the early shopping thing and got it out of the way soon?
No.
Oh, really? Really?
And with the internet, we have no excuse. Like, well, sit down and order your stuff online. Like, a month away, and it all gets delivered to your door, and you're fine.
Yep.
No idea why we don't take advantage of it.
I use the internet, I must say, a little bit this year for the shopping, and it's proven to be quite excellent.
Oh, good.
Yes, yes, I support that. I won't say too much. Stuart, if you're listening, block your ears. That's my boyfriend. Don't go looking through the cupboards, basically.
Oh, too late.
Yeah.
That's it. I can hear them rustling as we, from here.
Oh, he's not there.
Yeah, but the problem with this early, this, you know, shopping in advance thing is you have to have ideas. And my problem is I can't get good ideas until I'm under the pressure of having 3 minutes to buy the gifts.
Oh, really? So, but you did, Mike, you did a bit of a list. You're like, you're going to get this.
Well, but I'm the same as Dan. I thrive on deadlines.
Okay.
And I guess that's a good thing. I'm a journalist, isn't it? But, I went there last night with a list and just walked around. And basically, when you don't have a choice and your back's against a wall, you're going to buy presents. Probably crappy ones, but hey, it's something.
Yeah, it's true. I do like my back against the wall, though.
Listen to it. Rubbish.
Outrageous. Now, look, there, we will be talking a little bit later about Christmas, you know, Yule. That kind of stuff. Is that a word? And what to get your loved one that has a motoring theme this year. And we've also... Oh, now, well, more excitingly, of course, we will be continuing the countdown to the Raddest Car of the Year Award a little bit later on. We've got a couple of categories that we will be going through, and we would love your feedback, of course, as always. And we'd love you just to text in and say hi, or if you've got any questions or anything at all. 0427JOY949 is the text line, or email on air at joy.org.au. We always love hearing from you, but first up, we've got a little bit of news, guys, for everyone out there on the local front. Guys, we're very excited that by, I think it's the end of next year, Ford Australia will have a Mustang in its ranks, which is a little bit exciting. Let's be honest, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You've been inside one, haven't you?
I sure have, and it was a very, very lovely experience, yes. Yeah, I was lucky enough to drive it in its native America, and I think it's one of the best things to happen to Ford in many years. Mm. Not just because, you know, we're getting a Mustang, but because it is probably the first good Mustang they've made.
Wow.
I mean, it's typically been a very typical muscle car. Lots of power.
And still has leaf suspension, which is what you'd find on a Ranger Ute. Yeah. So they're not exactly dynamic paragons. But, you know, this new one, as Dan says, is something else.
It's going to be up there.
Yeah.
Well, it's proving to be quite the hit here. Still a year away from release, about a year away from release. And I believe that Ford Australia have registered 1,200 serious expressions of interest, with about 600 people already putting their money down.
Wow.
I kind of That's impressive.
It is impressive. I got a bit of a bone to pick with Ford, though. Mm. I mean, it's typical. Australia always gets stuff last. Yeah. Always, yeah. You know, whenever a new model's launched, Europe gets it first, China gets it second, America gets it. We always get the raw end of the wedge, but normally it's 3 to 6 months. With Ford, the Mondeo that's launching next year in March has been available in America for 2.5 years.
It's crazy.
The Mustang's already on sale. We're not getting it until end of next year. Mm. Ford Australia, I don't know what the deal is if they don't have bargaining power with America and Europe or whatever the situation is. I don't know.
It takes
a hell of a long time for us to get the good Ford stuff here. I feel a little sorry for Ford Australia. I'm sure it's not what they would want. But you got to look at that company and say, come on, guys, Australia's not an insignificant place. And how the hell, in the modern age, with the internet, when we see our compadre overseas driving these things, we don't get them for more than a year. It's not really on.
Do you think it's because we are the arse end of the world?
Correct. But other companies find a way to deal with it a lot better than Ford does.
That's true.
A lot better than Ford does.
Well, I think we were the last major market to get Tesla as well.
One of the last major ones. Yeah. Volkswagen's quite bad at that as well.
Oh, yeah. Like
the new Passat's more than a year away. Yeah. So some companies seem to nail it. Mercedes is always very good at it. And we get things pretty much at the same time as Europe does.
And Mazda's a very good one.
Fantastic for it. And I don't understand why some companies can't do it.
Oddly, I think Porsche are as well.
Mm. Well, Australia is a very strong Porsche and Mazda market on a global standpoint, whereas for Ford, we're kind of a drop in a giant ocean.
Damn you, oceans. Mm. Anyway, so that
Billy Ocean.
I've played
who's
him on the
actually,
show before.
No, it's Billy Idol that's touring here. So
Why do I
always confuse those two? They're rather different.
They are much
They
the
do
same.
Have the name Billy, though, so, you know.
It's true. It's truly. We could add Billy Corgan
as
well.
Can I just interrupt? We're doing that thing again where it's getting really boring. So
are you saying it's not a music show? Is that what you're saying?
Let's get back on the cars.
All right. Well, so back on the cars. So internationally, guys, Volvo have released or confirmed their new marketing plan this week. It's really, really, really interesting. They're changing things up big time. They're going to increase their marketing budget, but they're going to really change how they market vehicles. And you know, every other month there's a major motor show somewhere in the world. There's more and more happening every year. They're cutting it down to just 3 a year. There's just going to be 3 motor shows a year. They're not going to do any sponsorship apart from a boat race, some Volvo Challenge boat race. That's the only sponsorship they're going to do.
Okay.
So hang on. This is a company that's A, hiring more marketing people, and B, focusing on boat races. Two things that I really don't think the world needs more of.
Isn't it weird?
Volvo has a large foot in the marine power industry. So they'll probably be wanting to keep their profile high.
Will they be
the
safest boats?
Yeah.
Smash one of those boats into a reef, you are
airbags.
Safe, right?
Yeah, that's right. This looks like a sail, but it's actually a huge airbag.
But seriously, guys, I mean, this is an unusual move. And the other big one they're doing is they're really pruning back their involvement with motorsport. Yeah. And, of course, that has massive ramifications for Australia because Volvo debuted in the V8 supercars this year and they did bloody well. You know, they won a couple of races, which is much better than Nissan did in its first year, and Mercedes for that matter. And it's not quite clear at this stage what it's going to mean post-2016. I mean, Polestar, which is Volvo's sort of racing tuning arm, might stay involved. No one quite knows yet, but it's going to affect things. And I guess it's interesting that Volvo, one minute is all about racing and sexying up its image, and then the next minute it's just completely opposite. It sort of seems like a big about face, and I don't quite understand what's going on there.
Well, somebody was saying that they've done it before. They'll dip into this kind of thing and then dip out of it. Like, they'll have a few years of motorsport, then they'll dip out of it. So it's almost like a bit of a pattern, whether, you know, in 10 years' time they decide to come back to it, who knows. But they're focusing on smaller engines that their head of marketing, I think Global Head of Marketing, has said that, you know, they're a small engine lineup and all that kind of thing eventually.
Well, they're going to go the entire range is going to be 4-cylinder.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. I think by certain...
That's right.
It's not far off. Yeah, every model will be powered by either 4-cylinder petrol or diesel, which is, you know, it's sort of interesting that we've got to the point where engines are that versatile, but it just finds that a bit boring.
Well, it depends how it's done. I think how it's executed. I think it could be absolutely brilliant. And it's also because of their safety record and their safety reputation. That's the other reason they're kind of like, well, motorsport maybe doesn't.
But what
fit
better
with that.
Place to put safety to the test?
Yeah,
we have the strongest body shells. We have the best design of all this. Obviously, a racing car can't have autonomous brakes and airbags and all that safety stuff. Yeah. But it can have the structural stuff.
Yeah. I would like to see an autonomous racing league.
I would love to see an autonomous.
Could you imagine? I'd love to see adaptive cruise control out there. So with that. really big distance between
guys. Let's not get too close to each other now, guys. Right?
Can you imagine?
Well, about two or three years ago, that's what Formula One was, really, wasn't it? Everyone following each other around at a set distance.
That's true. So, look, big changes in store for Volvo, and we will keep our eyes on that, and in particular, what happens with local motorsport. Another exciting announcement, I guess, this week was that Honda will be showing the NSX, sorry, Acura, which is their American luxury arm, will be showing the NSX in its full production.
We were excited when they first mooted this 3.5 years ago.
Yeah, right.
It's just all a bit yesterday's news, isn't it?
And releasing shadowy images of the car that we know
it.
What's going to look like.
It's been out for years.
Yeah. Just because it's a different colour, it doesn't change the design.
Honda does this. Like, I drove a Civic Type R prototype in Japan two years ago.
Yeah.
Was it two? Oh, sorry, it was only one and a bit years ago.
The car that Mike drove is actually rusted away.
Yeah, and that car's still a year away from launching. Yeah. It's a bit like Ford. Honda's another one. You can't say you're doing it and then take years to do it. The world moves on these days. You've got to either do something or don't talk about it.
Yeah,
You can't sit on that fence. And Honda,
strange.
That being said, it is exciting to see an NSX come back. I mean, it was the car that really shook up the likes of Ferrari. It made the likes of Ferrari actually focus on things like quality and ease of living with, rather than just focusing on making pure race cars for the road. And so it's good to see that badge back. I'm not sure what the car will be like. It's a pretty high-tech thing. It's got electrification involved with it, and it's sort of a green supercar, which is where everybody's going. But hey, good on Honda. At least they're doing something exciting again.
That's very true. Speaking of something exciting, that's what we're doing all the time.
You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. More motoring news and info than you can poke your gear stick at.
Not that we would want you or encourage you to poke your gear stick at anything, because it should be kept safely in its position.
Well,
in the
right situation, you know.
And just make sure
as long as it's warranted.
Make sure you've got permission from whoever or whatever you're poking at.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah.
It's a good bit of advice for the holiday there.
Yeah.
Thanks, very ready Tim. Agreement from Tim.
I don't know what's happening today. Now, look, boys, just a couple of little newsy things to tie up. I'm not sure what happened last night.
Make sure you have permission for that as well.
Yeah, exactly, please. Now, so apparently rumours are circulating that Porsche have ditched their baby Boxster project. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. Until this morning, I didn't know they had a baby Boxster project.
They've been talking about this for years, because they were going to do one with Volkswagen. Like, Volkswagen was going to have one and Porsche was going to have one and all these different concepts and things. But it's been on and off, on and off, on and off. So I didn't realise this either. Has it been X now?
Apparently so. Somebody quite high up at Porsche has said, no, we're not doing it. Because they wanted another model. They have talked always about having that other model.
It'll be a 5 Series style sub Panamera sedan.
Yeah, that's actually, yes. Yeah, which,
it will be.
That's... What I mean, why?
Well, so I mean, everyone else is doing it. Maserati has the Ghibli and all the German, like, you know, BMW and Benz all have one, and Jaguar's got a new XF coming, and it's just the market that people are looking at, and I suspect that's what it'll be. Because Porsche, you know, they make cars like Macan and Cayenne so they can develop and spend money on things like 911s, which is great, really, because otherwise they couldn't afford to do the good stuff.
Yep.
But they need another one of those cars to make the money. It's one of those reality things.
I wonder if it's going to... Yeah, I mean, obviously it'll be sporty, but I mean,
what platform will it be based on? Do you think it'll be like a...
MLB. So it's there's this Audi platform that the next A6 will be on. Volkswagen are really good at sharing stuff. And they generally leave Porsche alone for things like 911. It's like, you guys just do your thing. We don't want to get in the way, which is very wise, because the minute they try and water down that car, game over.
Yeah,
but things like Cayennes and sedans, maybe there can be a bit more commonality there. Mm. Macan's got a lot of commonality with Q5. So that would probably be the direction they'd go in, I would reckon.
Yeah. Okay.
Not that I know, but it's just a guess. But it seems an educated one.
It'd be interesting to see, actually.
It's funny. Maybe I'm just sort of, you know, having a momentary imaginative moment. But I've got a good idea of what I reckon it'll look like.
Please.
Well, you know, just imagine getting a Panamera and getting its proportions completely right at last.
So you know nothing like a Panamera then.
No, because if you chop a Panamera, if you chop its bum off, right, from sort of pretty much the B pillar. Mm-hmm. The whole front end is really good on a Panamera.
Yeah.
Without question.
That's true.
It's got a lovely nose on it. And then if you cut out that little bit, that funny sort of Boeing 747 hunchback between the very tip of its bum, and you just sort of move that a little bit closer, corrected the roofline, bingo. Huh. You know what I mean?
I know what they were going for with the Panamera.
Yeah.
It's like, imagine a stretch 911, but they just didn't get it right.
Yeah, it's sort of, they stretched it
awesome
and then they
inflated
it a little bit as well.
Do you remember that they did a concept a year or two ago that was a bit more
It was a
wagon-y.
Shooting brake, wasn't
yeah.
it?
That yeah. looked, that yeah. made it look
I have to
brilliant.
Say, I love sitting inside the Panamera because it means I don't have to look at the Panamera.
Yeah. Oh, that's just
And
cruel.
you don't see too many on the road, so the odds of seeing another one are quite slim.
Yeah.
But they are, as a technical exercise, it's an incredible car.
Yeah.
You cannot believe a car that big can actually drive that well and handle that well.
Yeah.
It's like an ocean liner that handles like a speedboat. But never really warmed to it.
No. It's
I did. I love it.
Yeah, you want to kiss it on the lips.
I did several times, actually.
You did.
And finally, in other news, I'm not sure if this makes anyone sad or not, but Dutch supercar maker Spycar has declared itself bankrupt. You might know them as the company that tried to save Saab a few years
back.
Well,
that was their biggest mistake, wasn't it? And now it's come back to bite them on the bum.
A little bit.
Come on. You're just going down with the sinking ship.
Yeah.
I mean, fair play for them for having the bravado to try and save Saab. But, I mean, I think they probably had a little dig in the ribs from a few people who said, listen, guys, do you realise what you're trying to do here?
What are you doing?
Moderately insane. A tiny little niche cottage supercar maker rescuing a very highly established, multinational company.
That was spiralling out of control.
Yeah. Ambition. Spycar was cool, though. They made some cool,
wacky
out their designs.
Some of the designs are actually quite striking.
I wouldn't be surprised if maybe that design house got sale. Someone picked it up. Mm. Someone bought it for cheap. You often see with these companies when they collapse, that's when a big company swoops in and grabs them because you get it cheap and you get all that cool stuff that they've got.
Well,
so maybe it'll happen. Who knows?
The guy who's running the show is still holding out hope.
Mr. Spycar.
Barry Spycar, I believe his name is.
It's a very common Swedish name, Barry Spycar.
It is. I love the name, though. I think Spycar's a great name. So,
yeah.
Spycar is dead. Long live Spycar, basically, is the moral of the story.
Let's just hope it doesn't do an MG.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, a sports car company that dies and then comes back as the worst car manufacturer in the world.
Well, that is a big call.
Yeah, it's not
great. There's some pretty bad ones out there. Well, you know what? Maybe in a few years they'll be all right. Again, like with a number of Chinese car makers,
they take a while.
Yeah, that Geely, there's a Geely that's coming out. I don't know if it's coming out here or anything, but it looks quite like a very appealing design.
Well, Geely bought Volvo for that reason,
so Volvo could educate
them on how to make a proper car.
Yeah.
It seems to be working.
Yeah. That's good, actually.
You need time to do that. You need time and you need money. And, there's a fair bit of cash floating around in China at the moment, so,
Yeah.
That's an understatement.
Yeah, that's true.
And there's my business wrap-up for China economy.
You should go to the board of some of his cash. Yeah. Listen, there's some cash in China.
How dare you?
Oh, dear. Well, I'm going to put that knowledge to test, Dan, because speaking of all of that money, what do you do with money?
Well, I can see where you're going with this, Tim.
Yeah.
Yes, nice lead in to our suggestions for what one should buy as a Christmas gift for a petrol head.
It's true. Look, it is that time of year. It's Christmas. You can smell it in the air, pretty much. I can smell it when I walk outside at night, and there's vomit all over the streets from the Christmas party.
Oh, lovely.
Mm.
Everywhere, all the time.
Yeah.
Oh,
so many Christmas parties. Yeah. It's safe to say that if you haven't bought a gift for your significant other at this point, you're probably getting a little alarmed by the situation. I swear I ordered you something, but it didn't arrive. Blame Australia Post.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I've just completely blown that, haven't I? Because I can never use it again. there is still time.
Yeah.
There is still time if you want to get your significant other or your friend or whoever it is, something car-related, if they're a car nut.
This is the thing. There are a lot of options out there. It's funny because, you know what? I love my cars, but I don't know if I would want something that car.
We all work in the industry. We spend our lives around them. Maybe, when I have a bit of downtime, the last thing I want to do is get more involved. There are a lot of people in our industry that want to get more involved, but for me, I think a bit of time away is healthy.
I agree.
But for a lot of people who don't work in the car business, it's a passion, and it's, a perfect gift idea.
Look, and there are a lot of things you can do. You can go to, there are lots of, I won't name names, but there are lots of companies like rather cheap automobile. I can't do it, I'm trying to say it without saying it.
And there's another one, which is sort of like a big shop but instead of a barn, it's a bit, sort of more like a barn than a shop. It's automotive.
Yeah.
It's sort of automotive in a barn.
I think I know where you're going. But those kind of places, like some people, that's like they're Bunnings, or for me, like, I love Office.
Oh,
Works.
You mean shops that sell car stuff?
Yes,
that's what you're going.
That's
for.
What I'm trying okay. to get at.
Now I know where you're going.
Thanks,
I was
Mike.
Having
yeah,
trouble.
Right. Yeah, no, yeah. Good. Good.
Thank you. Yeah. So I mean, there's heaps of stuff in there. Like people, like, do people? I don't know if you can still get. Real, what are they, you know, sheepskin car
oh,
covers.
Wow.
Seat covers.
I can see
I
you
didn't
as
realize sheepskin. You were 75 years old.
Wow. I used to love them. Oh, I used to love them on like a Mercedes-Benz S-Class, and I thought that was the richest person in the world.
No, you know what I always preferred? I prefer those wooden bead
oh,
taxi style.
Oh, exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's
yeah,
what
yeah,
you
yeah.
need.
That's why do you use wooden beads for?
Mike, I just thought
oh,
an idea.
Hello.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Moving swiftly on. Mike, I think I've come up with an idea of a Christmas present for Tim. Mm-hmm. Why don't we get him a nice pair of stringback driving gloves?
Yes.
My nan had some.
Yeah, and that's exactly my point. I bet she had a sheepskin seat cover as
no,
well.
No, but she had something else in the stanza, the Datsun stanza.
Yeah, what was
it
that?
It was like a leather-wrapped wheel that was yes. tied on with...
Ooh.
I remember.
Baler twine.
Yeah. And did she have like a couple of hats on the parcel shelf?
And a box of tissues? Yeah, box of tissues
hat.
On the back.
Yeah,
on
always
the
a box
shelf.
Of tissues.
Yeah. No, missed out on the tissues. But look, there are so many things you could get fluffy diced. Is that still a thing?
Yeah, now, see, the problem with buying for... I think it is, although actually I heard a thing that they might be illegal because they obstruct your view of the road.
I saw a girl driving last night with an
you
entire...
You did not.
I know.
What is the world coming to?
I thought this was Saudi Arabia. It had a dream catcher, a full-on Native American...
Oh,
dream
dear.
Catcher. But shut not a
down.
Little one, like a full-size, foot-long oh. dream catcher hanging from a rearview mirror,
that
bobbing
is,
her in the head every
the,
time she was
that
taking
is
a
the
fair.
Worrying thing about that is size irrespective. A dream catcher, I thought, works when you're asleep.
Mm.
So what is the point?
She's
in
dreaming that even though she goes asleep at the wheel, she'll somehow not crash.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Yep.
Worrying.
That is bad.
Bring on problem with cars. Buying Christmas presents with an automotive theme is car stuff generally is actually quite expensive. So if you yeah. wanted to get, you know, okay, there's a good idea. I quite like the idea of like a car hamper for your car. So like, you
like
know.
A picnic hamper?
Sort of that sort of, well, no, I mean like products. So like imagine you're buying for a person.
Yeah,
so get it some nice shampoo.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
you put
like
it all in.
Shine.
Your wax and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
right. That's and, you,
a great
and,
idea.
And you display it all in a bucket. You know what I mean? And then you put a bit of cellophane over the top, and suddenly it looks like a hamper.
Ah,
except this, yeah. And I like the personal touch because you picked out all the things yourself,
yeah.
and that's one idea. But like, get buying things like you couldn't buy someone a set of alloy wheels because you know you're talking thousands of dollars.
Can you imagine?
Unless you're very generous. So when it comes to gifts, I think it has to be sort of more intangible things like experiences. Mm. That's always a good way to go for people
that's
who love
a
cars.
Great one,
yeah,
which
you can
do
buy
a lot
like
of.
Supercar rides and
yeah.
things like that.
Yep.
That tend to go down pretty well.
Yeah.
yeah. You know, like, you know, just a day karting, you know, that kind of thing is a real good laugh.
That's a great one, actually.
Yeah.
You can or, yeah, no, go.
Rally driving experience. There's,
yep.
there's a couple of experiences you can get out at Calder Park, which is, you know, a historically important racetrack. Yep. I would say, you know, that's one place to help. But all of the racing circuits, you know, Sandown, they have an experience that runs there.
Yeah.
There's probably something at Phillip Island.
Defensive driving courses, all of
great
that kind
idea.
Of stuff. Yeah.
Great idea. I think that's a really good one because they sound a bit sort of like, geeky, like, oh, I'm the safe driver on the road, but actually they're really good fun as well.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. Also, or a book. Books are always
yeah.
good. I believe that is something that...
Yes, yes. Absolutely.
Mike, pick up the cue, mate. Come on, geez.
Sorry, you were prodding me for a second
sorry.
There.
Tough audience, yeah. too.
yes, okay. look, there are. There's a massive amount yeah. of car books out yeah. there, whether they just be coffee table books mm. or books about the biographies of people mm. who are famous in the car industry.
Yeah.
We had a guest on earlier this year who'd contributed to a book on Holden Racing.
That's correct. Steve Normoyle, who is a motoring journalist from up in Sydney. And it was, yeah, it was, I can't remember the name, but it was Muscle Cars of Holden, I think, and a period from maybe 67 to 2003.
So perfect kind of coffee table stuff. Another
exactly.
one that
I'm really surprised. I never realised there were so many people with such an interest in coffee tables. I mean, every Christmas year, people talking about buying coffee table books. How many does one person need?
Step away from Dan, everyone. Step away from Dan. You're
I
very
mean,
pleased
for
with
a man
something.
For a man without children. How he makes so many dad jokes is just staggering.
Oh, there's probably a few kids out there
one,
with his
one,
name.
One other thing that I would love to be given hint.
Easy, Mike. Easy.
Hello. I know. You just calm down now. is so who doesn't like a bit of Lego? Sorry.
I love a bit of Lego.
Who doesn't like a bit of Lego? Now, you think Lego is maybe for kids, and yes, there are, you know, Lego sets that are designed for kids, but also there's adult Lego. They've got this set now where they do amazing representations of very famous cars. There's a Caterham one, there's a Mini Cooper one, and it's in really detailed, really small pieces. It looks
spot on. Yeah. And it's a nice little challenge, and it's awesome. A nice thing to put on your shelf. So all that's kind of fun. That's brings out the kid in everybody.
Perfect. I love Lego, and I've just recently just watched most of the Lego movie.
It's pretty good,
really,
isn't it?
Really funny.
Yeah.
No, really.
It's actually
though.
Pretty good.
And it was done
surprised.
In Australia.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, really, really good. Anyway, we digress again. Now, we do have a lot more coming up on Fender Bender, and I would urge everyone to stick around because very shortly we are going to be going through the rest of the Fender Bender Raddest Car of the Year award nominations.
The world's preeminent automotive awards.
Absolutely. World Car series. Of the Year, whatevs. Yeah. It's about this.
This is a big one, guys.
And it's coming up very shortly, so make sure you stick around. This is Fender Bender. We are hanging out with you for about another 28 minutes or so. And you know what? You know what's exciting? We don't get to do this very often, but we have got a giveaway, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, have we?
Not one, but two.
Oh, sensational. What have we got to give away?
I'll tell you right now. We've got a giveaway. It's actually, there are two family passes. And when I say family passes, that means you've got two adults and up. And three kids up to 15 years of age, I suspect that means. And we've got two of these family passes to give away to the Geelong Classic Truck and Vintage Machinery Show. It's at the Geelong Showgrounds on Breakwater Road, East Geelong, on January 10th and 11th. So early in the new year, it's a great place to head down to, obviously, when it's summer. Lots to do in and around Geelong. All my family live around there, so totally go and visit them. No, that'd be weird.
Tim will be making a celebrity appearance.
Yes,
he'll be there in his Fender Bender costume.
What would that be?
It looks a bit like Evel Knievel, but but with more tassels.
Yeah.
And there's a pink.
I was going to say it has to be pink.
Yeah. I'm making this up.
I think you might. Yes. I might not be there. No, but I'd like to be. But apparently there's going to be lots of steam-driven machines, internal combustion engines, even toys, and working model machines.
And there's a big classic car show that happens with it as well. So it's for the all-around petrol head. If you like machines as much as we do, this is a great day out for you.
Yep, and basically, you can win this. You can win this right now. You do need to be a joy member, and if you're not one, you can sign up.
Which is a great
gift. Don't call me a witch.
Oh, sorry. Tim, which is a great gift. If you haven't... what about that for a Christmas
present? That's a great Christmas
present.
Because
not only is it supporting the best radio station in the universe, it's also your way of giving an automotive-themed present as well, because you can listen in with confidence that you're supporting Joy 94.9 every week when you listen to Fender Bender.
It's true. It's very true.
God, just... That's
inspired.
I know, right?
It's totally true.
It's very reasonable rates for membership. What is it, Tim?
It is for a family. It's $96 for full membership. It's $72 for concession. It's $36, and there are others as well.
Yeah. We won't go into them
now. You can find it on the website. But right now, for this giveaway, if you want to win said tickets, you can just text in. And what do we want them to do? That we want them to tell us.
Well, before we were talking about ideal Christmas gifts for petrol heads. So we want to know what you want for Christmas. Preferably automotive related.
Yep.
But let's be honest, I'm just interested to know what people want for Christmas.
Yeah, it could be a car. God, I'd be going, I want a Rolls Royce Wraith. I don't. But
I saw one on the way here. I saw a blue one.
Did you?
And it's the second one I've seen in 3 days.
Okay.
Text in 0427JOY949, or you can email onair@joy.org.au. This is really the episode of digression, isn't it?
It really is.
Wow.
No, but we do want to hear from you and those numbers that you just said. Please,
which was 0427JOY949 and email onair@joy.org.au.
And when you do email in for these tickets, do include your membership number, please.
You must.
If you have it. That would be terrific.
Or that constitutes being a bad person and Santa won't come this year.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying anything to what you just said.
Nope.
Shut it down. But do text in, and we would love to hear from you. But what we would love to do right now is talk about the Raddest Car of the Year Awards. Big, 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 big event on the Fender Bender calendar every year. Next week, I urge you to listen in because you will hear what we think is the best car of the year. And we are more knowledgeable than most people in the world. So, I mean, it's obvious that you should listen.
Right.
I did that really well, didn't I? Now, last week we went through a couple of categories. So we have a number of categories for the Fender Bender Raddest Car of the Year, of course. We have the Sexiest Car, which we've done Most Improved Car. And today we're going to be talking about Best Bargain, as well as the Plain Jane / WTF award.
I like how we've got the new WTF part, because in the past it was really just designs that were a little boring.
Yeah.
But now it's designs that are boring or designs that are just, well, it's not boring, but
what were they like, thinking?
What the hell was going on with
why?
That?
Yeah. Why?
We've broadened it. It's a good, it's a good one. I like it.
And best bargain is always a good one as well, because there are some, we're very lucky in this country. There's a lot of cars on offer here, and some are overpriced and some are probably priced right on the money. So we'll be going through that pretty much right now, ladies and gentlemen. So, guys,
where are we going to start first?
Well, I think we go straight to Plain Jane.
Okay.
Slash WTF award. Brilliant. Now, this was a hard one. We were talking about this before the show, because every year prior to this, there's been a lot of options to put in to this category, and it's been quite obvious. I really struggled with this one because it hasn't been a year of particularly horrendous looking cars.
Mm, unfortunately, Mitsubishi didn't launch many cars this year.
Listen to it.
I think the WTF edition is particular. Sorry, by the way, Mitsubishi. I like your product. I'm just having a lend.
Yeah.
But this year, I like the WTF edition because this year there were a couple of designs that came out that you couldn't call plain, but you could call polarizing.
Yeah.
Which is code for, but you can't write that and get away with it being correct in journalistic terms. So you say polarizing.
Yeah.
There's a little tidbit for you. So, yeah, what are some of the ones that we've cobbled together?
Well, we're going to start with, God, I hope this was this year, Jeep Cherokee.
Yeah, that was
Definitely.
Now, the Jeep Cherokee, obviously, in its previous guise, was just a boxy big SUV that went off-road, and it was quite capable off-road and that kind of thing. It was reborn this year as a compact SUV, like a RAV4 competitor, and when the design was revealed earlier this year, people on the internet said things like, kill it with fire. That's how polarizing design was. It is a very strange looking car, but I feel like in the flesh, it actually works. However, how is that design going to age?
Ooh, good question. Good question. Probably, look, I don't think people's opinion is going to change very much. And if I use myself as an example, I thought the car... I hated it at first. I suspected it might grow on me from what Mike was saying. He saw it in... Did you see it in the US?
Yeah, I went to the global launch and I thought... Yeah.
And you said it was good.
In the flesh, it was all right. Like, it was better. It's one of those things that you look at it in the metal, it's better than if you look at it on pictures.
So I thought it was going to grow on me, and I was quite right. And it did grow on me. And then the strangest thing happened. It was like it was excised off like a tumour. It grew off me again.
Really?
And I've really gone off it. I don't like it at all. Yeah,
I'm kind of in the same boat as you, Dan. I find it to be a pretty average-looking design in a lot of ways. I find its proportions are quite nice. But I think what got everybody down was the nose, the front-end design. Mm-hmm. That really strange kind of... They almost tried to make it look like a sports car at the front, which didn't fit with the rest of it. And anyway, they're selling a lot of them and a lot of people like them. So, you know, kudos to them for having a go. But you could certainly say it's got a lot of people scratching their heads.
And that is prime candidate for the WTF.
Yeah, big time, big time. Well, we've got another one, another few in there, actually, in the WTF. This one's an interesting one. Now, it's almost more appropriate for the vehicle that preceded this as the concept that preceded this. The Lexus NX SUV.
Now, WT big F.
Massive spindle grille, very interesting looking thing. I'm going to say I actually quite like this.
Well, you would be completely wrong then, wouldn't you? Because it's hideous.
Lexus has got this thing now where Lexus had this really rusted-on, strong core buyership that were conservative, wealthy people who wanted something that just was sort of anonymous. And Lexus decided that it had to shake things up, had to appeal to younger people. All these weird flame-type surfaces over at different angles and edges and sharp bits and round bits. And it's very... was an example of them trying to... really get outlandish. Yeah. And I don't think they've quite nailed it. I think they're probably trying a little too hard with things. There's all these weird flame-type surfaces over at different angles and edges and sharp bits and round bits, and it's very complicated. And you look at it in person, you say, well, it certainly stands out, but I don't know.
Really? Yeah, but deserving of the WTF.
Beautiful cabin. Yeah. It's a good car, just not so sure about the clothes that it's wearing. Yeah.
What about the BMW X4? So this is a shrunken X6. It's an odd design.
Yeah, we need more X6 type style cars. Nobody ever. That being said, BMW sold 250,000 X6s around the world in the first generation. They launched that car. Remember, it was the coupe style SUV with the weird, you know, it's like an SUV with none of the practicality benefits, or a sports car with none of the sportiness. So you think, what the hell are they doing this car for? They sold tons of them. There's obviously a market there. Now Mercedes is copying them and doing its own version. The X4, again, you notice three SUVs, so maybe we have a bit of a competing against SUVs. That being said, it's an odd-looking duck, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a strange, it's sort of half coupe, half SUV, bit of sedan thrown in.
Yeah.
It's one of those cars that a few people will love and I think most people will really dislike.
Yep. I think so too.
But if you love it, there's really nothing else you can buy.
Yeah.
It's all, I've got a suggestion.
It's a segment all of its own.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. I have a suggestion for Plain Jane.
Yeah.
As in, like, deeply dislikable.
Mm.
Holden Trax.
Yeah. Really?
Yes. Yeah.
Really?
See, I
find that quite inoffensive.
You and
it
I
looks sort of tough.
Yeah.
Inoffensive, you absolutely got it in one. It doesn't do anything at all.
It looks kind of macho, though. Like, it's got little flared guards and things on it.
I'm with you. I don't mind it.
As far as that's... Okay, if we're going to talk about mini SUVs, a Ford EcoSport is worse.
Yeah. But do you know what? Both of these cars were released last year, so they can't be in the plan.
Holden did a refresh of the tracks this year.
The LTZ is the one.
Oh, yeah, so it slipped in there, didn't it?
Oh, dear. Accidental? I don't think so.
No, but... That is an interesting choice.
I found it both is equally dull to drive as is to look at. And this is the improved
one. The 1.4 turbo is okay.
It is okay.
It
is horrendous. It's bolted onto a stupid gearbox. It makes way too much noise, doesn't return the performance for the amount of noise it's making, and it's horrid.
Nah, I think it's all right. But anyway, we'll agree to disagree. And I said that, you know, I was unfair before. I said Mitsubishi didn't release a car to qualify. It actually did, and the one car it launched is indeed part of the Plain Jane Awards. How appropriate. Absolutely. The Mitsubishi Mirage Sedan. Called the Atrage in other markets. Thankfully, they ditched that name and called it the Mirage Sedan. Look, the Mirage hatch, as much as I want to mock it, it costs $13,000 drive away. It's got 5-star safety. It's got Bluetooth. It's a fantastic first car. Or if you just want something cheap that's not going to let you down, long warranty, all that stuff, great get.
Yeah.
Sedan version, it's like a lot of small sedans. It's really practical, massive boot, but my God, they just cannot get the proportions of them right. It just doesn't... That small body style doesn't suit being a sedan at
all. For those who don't know, the name was actually... the Atrage name we don't get. It was actually derived from the two words atrocious and mirage.
Mitsubishi marketing is being unusually frank and forthright with its naming policies these days.
It was funny with the Mirage sedan because I actually drove one for a week and at the start of it, I'm like, oh my God, get me out of this thing. And then by the end of it, I loved it.
Oh dear. Did you love how the rear seats don't fold?
Well, no. Look, there are things, obviously, that I did not like about it.
That's pretty bad. That's inexcusable, I would say.
It's becoming more and more common, actually, unfortunately. It's really ridiculous. But
I've just given me a good idea for a Christmas gift.
Yeah?
Angle grinder.
Yeah, exactly.
So but is that a security measure? Because what if, you know, people... Although then again, people can easily... if they break into your car, they can open the boot from inside, can't they? Yeah. So it's not really even that. It's just a dumb thing.
Now, one more suggestion for a Plain Jane, and I don't know about this, and I'll ask what you guys think, because I think you guys have seen it in the flesh, the Subaru Liberty. Yeah. Is it Plain Jane or is it okay?
Well,
what
it
are
is,
we talking
and
about?
This is what gets me. Subaru, it makes sense. So they two generations ago, they had a Liberty that was sort of like a miniature... It almost was like a little European car. It was a fantastic, sporty, unique choice. And Honda's Accord Euro back then was the same. There were these two mid-sized Japanese cars that were awesome. But Subaru realized that it could only sell cars in America and nowhere else. That's the way it went for that company. And so they designed a car for America. So it got much bigger, much more conservative. The style went downhill, but they started selling a lot more of them. And so they realized they've got to keep doing that now. The new generation Liberty's come out. It's a lot like the last one rather than two generations ago. So it's big, it's brash, it's... very, very, very good value for money, by the way. But the styling of it is just so derivative and plain. It just doesn't move you.
I, to an extent, agree, but I think it's going in the right direction. I think this is the way this one looks is a big improvement over the last one. And, you know, if you concentrate on it, which, you know, a car shouldn't have to make you do that, but if you actually look at it and stand there for a moment and just take in the way it looks, it's actually not a bad looking thing, really. It doesn't make you turn your head as it passes.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's bad looking at all, but I'd put one next to a Mazda 6 and say, you know, which one am I going to choose here?
Yeah.
The Mazda's a genuinely nice looking machine. The Subaru is inoffensive.
Yeah.
It certainly isn't ugly, but it's a brand new launch, a brand new model, and it's kind of a bit... And that segment is going downhill in a lot of markets. You kind of got to do something to stand out from the pack. A lot of equipment, really good value, really good space, does a lot of good things well. The styling, nah.
So it's an interesting field, that one. And obviously next week we will reveal the loser, I guess you could say, in that category. We are right in the middle of our Fender Bender Brattis Car of the Year.
Do you want me to remind you what show you're doing?
If you wouldn't mind occasionally.
Tim, it's a car show. We do it every Saturday. Yeah. You're the host.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Oh, dear. Right. So I'll fill in for a moment. That's fine. Yeah. While Tim over there has some kind of seizure, he's just full of the joys of the Christmas spirit, isn't he?
I am. I don't know what his name is, but yeah.
No, I'm Santa.
Oh, God. That is.
You know great. Somebody out there is into that.
That's true. Right? It's true. There's got to be some fetishes. Mm. Now, boys, we are talking about Fender Bender Rattus Car of the Year Awards as I move my paper around and probably annoy everyone at home. Now, we just talked about the Plain Jane WTF Award. Now, we're going to move really quickly along to the Best Bargain. So, this is an interesting one. Again, it might not necessarily mean like a $13,000 light car. It's just the best value for money for what you're getting. And we've got some interesting players in this one this year, starting off with the Tesla Model S, ladies and gentlemen. Now, this thing starts at $91,000. That's a lot of money, right?
Bargain.
Well, I think it is, because it goes up to $133,000, of course. But this thing is one of the most interesting cars that's come out here in a long time. I'm really sick of hearing the word game changer, so I'm not going to say it. But it is. Mm. There's nothing like it on the road. Technologically, it's just blown everything out of the water. And you get a lot for your money.
Well, you look at it next to its rivals, the 5 Series, yeah. the Lexus GS, the Audi A6, the Mercedes E-Class, and it's spec for spec and competency for competency, quite a bit cheaper, especially at the high end, where its performance is supercar-esque. Yeah. It's an electric car with a proper range. It looks incredible, and it costs so much less than a lot of its equivalent German rivals. So you've got to say, despite the fact that it's more expensive for, the average person, it's great value nonetheless.
Yep. However, the only failing of this car is... this is the problem with any alternative, well, not any alternative energy car, but particularly this one, you have to plug it in and charge it every time you've been using it. Now, we all sit here and go, well, that's fine, Dan. That's just something you get used to. Getting people to change their cultural ways is the hardest thing to do in the automotive world. Second to none. You can tell them it has got all these features, but as soon as you say to someone, no, you can't just drive up to a pump and fill it up in 3 minutes, then they turn their backs on it. So I entirely agree with you on this. It is a fantastic car. Measure for measure, you can't really get anything better value for money, but you have to change people's culture and their behavior when it comes to motoring, and that is this car's biggest challenge.
But I think you get to the point where you get home, what do? You charge your phone, you charge your laptop, you charge your car, stick the charger in, away you go. Yep. So I don't know about that. I think actually people are quite already used to just charging things. So we just charging a car is just another extension of that.
Well, we'll have to wait and see, because there's a few orders. People have started taking delivery of them. I would wholeheartedly encourage, if you have around 100 grand to spend on a luxury car, have a go in a Tesla, because...
And it's also lend me some money, please.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. It gets all three of our seal of approval. Mm. It is a revolutionary car, and I thought it was spectacular. It's still got the biggest challenge ahead of it, though.
Mm, absolutely. Now, there are some other nominees here. The Ford Falcon range, ladies and gentlemen. They dropped the prices on every variant. The XR8 is being called a performance bargain of the year. It's doing really well.
For about 50K, yeah. And it has the underpinnings of the $80,000 previous gen FPV version.
Yeah.
It is the bang for the buck bargain of the year. If you still like a big old fashioned rear drive V8 muscle car, it's insanely good value for money.
And across the range, though, there's so much car in a Falcon. And I forgot that when we were at the launch and they asked a bunch of us to get in the back seat so they could do a demonstration of their infotainment system. And I was like, oh, are we all going to fit? And then somebody went, it's a Falcon. And then the three big dudes got in the back of the car. I was like, oh, of course, I've got acres of room.
It was funny. I actually did a twin test recently for my publication on a base Commodore versus a base Falcon. Mm. The cars that everybody used to have are now the cars that nobody has. Yeah. And that's why they're disappearing.
Yeah.
And for both of them are 35 grand at base level, and that's as much as a top-end Golf. A top-end Golf costs more than that.
Yeah.
And these things are enormous.
Yeah.
Just enormous.
It's crazy.
If you want just sheer most metal for least money, there you go.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I think so too. And we had some other ones that I have changed my piece of paper and I cannot see now.
Skoda Rapid would be one that I look at.
Yep. Oh, now, also, yeah, sorry, go ahead, please.
Skoda in Europe is Volkswagen's budget brand.
Yeah.
In Australia, Skodas are basically the same price as Volkswagens, so they've got to have a point of difference there. They're getting better at that. They're now cutting the prices. The new Octavia is another example of that. Rapid is sort of like a small car, like a Ford Focus rival, I guess. Very, very roomy. not amazing, pretty decent,
but really like it.
It's about, you can get one for less than 19 grand before on-road costs, which is not a lot of money.
I was a big fan of, but I think it was the higher spec one, which is a little bit less, you know, value proposition.
But if you really still, haggle, you can walk out the showroom with one for about 20k, and it's a European small car. It's not bad.
I've got one nominee.
Yes.
Subaru WRX.
Tell us more.
I would love to. So this is the return of an iconic car in Australia. People love the WRX. It's a bit of a performance sedan. The returning version is absolutely still a performance sedan proposition, but it's had a huge price reduction. It was $1,000 cheaper than the previous one, and which takes it to around about the 40 grand mark. So you can have a 2-litre turbocharged sedan that looks cool, has four-wheel drive, and a manual gearbox for around about 40 grand. For me, that makes that one of the bargains of the year.
In fact, Subaru is getting very good at this because they just launched, we just talked about the Liberty and Outback that launched last week, the new generation one. Well, this week, I should say. And they did it again. The top spec Liberty is $14,000 cheaper than its predecessor.
That's
which
massive.
Is massive. It also shows that the old one was a bit of a ripoff.
You'd be a bit annoyed if you bought that.
Let's be honest. I suspect nobody was paying $50,000 plus for that car. I suspect they've adjusted the prices to what people were actually paying.
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise, you would just annoy all your customers. But Subaru probably realised that maybe some of its cars were a little expensive. Not all of its cars. Some of its cars are great value. Some of them, touch expensive. You can get a Liberty now for under 30 grand. You can get an Outback for not much more. That's a hell of a lot of car for that kind of money.
Absolutely.
WRX, though, is my pick.
That's your pick?
Yep.
All right. Well, we have a lot of picks, and boys, between now and next week's show, we've got some decisions to make, haven't we? That we've put it all out there. We've put it all out there, and next week we will be revealing the winners of each segment, as well as our nominees and the winner for the overall reddest car of the year, which for me is the most fun one.
And it is the most coveted award in the world.
Yep. Oscars, whatevs.
Like I said last week, again this week, I had about six different car company CEOs calling me up offering me.
You get that too, do you?
Serious bribes. Yeah. And I'm sorry, but we can't. Our independence depends on not being swayed by that sort of thing.
Back off. Back off.
But as soon as the award's over, then go nuts. Spoiler.
Different story. Boys, we are at the end of the show. Again, we will be doing this all again next week, and I'm looking very, very forward to it. Mike Costello, Dan Gardner, thank you so much.
Oh, stop you. You big, lovely man, you.
Is he hitting on me?
I think he is.
Yes, I am. He is certainly having a crack. That is the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for listening. Why am I doing that today? I feel like I blame you for that, Dan. Thank you to the lovely Sarah as well for doing a wonderful job on the panel, of course. We will be back next week, so make sure you stick around for Luke and the gang for Critical Hit. My name is Tim Nicholson, signing off for Fender Bender. Safe driving.
Fender Bender, guaranteed to leave skid marks?
This has been a Fender Bender podcast for Joy 94.9, Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station. See joy.org.au for more details.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.